Gadala Dana Asi. That is the one phrase that my father-in-law taught me in his mother's native language, Cherokee. He tried to teach me a few other lines, and I didn't take very well. In fact, I'm sure I didn't even say that phrase right. But what it is God is good. It's part of a responsive phrase that my father-in-law always did. It goes like this: God is good. And then the people would respond, all the time. And then whoever it is that's starting it off says, and all the time. And then people would respond, God is good. Let's do that together. God is good. And all the time. I was reminded of that this week, really relishing on those words. Gadala Dana Asi. And on Saturday afternoon, Joy's family gathered together to celebrate the life of Joy's grandmother. We affectionately referred to her as Granny. She was a 98-year-old Cherokee woman, and God was good to her. I want to read two lines from her obituary. She was a believer in the Lord and a prayer warrior for her family and friends. She was a loving wife, mother, sister, and granny. On the day after Joy's grandmother died, I asked her how she was doing and what she was thinking. And she thought for a moment and she said, I've lost another prayer warrior. And we have lost another prayer warrior. And so I'll ask you to fill that gap. And I do thank you for those of you that do pray for me, for my family, and for CUNA Baptist Church on a daily or on a regular basis, whatever that means. And I covet those prayers. And we need them all the more now. But I want to draw attention to the fact how God was good to her. And those statements that I read from her obituary of being a prayer warrior, a loving wife, mother, sister, and granny, I'll tell you what, that says so much about her, but it says infinitely more about the God that she worshiped and the God that she's standing in front of right now. And while I want you to consider God's goodness in your life, and maybe you can consider that this afternoon. How has God been good to you in your life or maybe in 2024? And you can go home and over a sandwich or whatever it might be, give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. I want you to just a moment, the goodness of God to a biblical character. This is Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And that character, of course, is Abraham. Those verses say this: Now the Lord said to Abram, eventually he was called Abraham a little bit later, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And here's what I want to get to. Oh, hold on, I said this. I read it wrong. And the one who curses you, I will curse. Here's what I want to get to, this line in verse 3. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That is from the word, that idea of all the families of the earth. All the families. It's the word mishpachat, and we can see it developed throughout the rest of Scripture. Sometimes it's translated in various ways, but I want you to see, or I want you to understand, in the book of Numbers, we can see this word for family developed in a particular way. You see, in Numbers, they counted all the people of Israel, and they were to divide all the people into their tribes. Remember Judah and Benjamin and Gad and all the different 12 tribes. Well, within those 12 tribes then, they would number all the families. And then there were various families. Some had as many as a few hundred, and some had as many as a few thousand that were in their various families. And so what I want you to see is a family, in the way that God is speaking to Abraham, is smaller than a tribe, but it's bigger than what we think of as our nuclear family of mom and dad and brothers and sisters. And so there's a group that is very small and intimate, and yet bigger than just your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. The word, or the phrase, there in Genesis 12:3 is recorded twice in the New Testament, but specifically the one I want to look at is in Galatians 3:8-9. Paul says this concerning the fulfillment of that last line of the Abrahamic covenant. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, here's the quote, all the nations, we have a different word, at least in our translations, but all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Now that word for nations and Gentiles is actually translated twice there in Galatians 3:8. And it is this word, ethne. Ethne. When it's plural, in a particular context, it will often refer to Gentiles as opposed to anybody who is Jewish. There's a way that it's being used, and that's why I think in every translation, at least the ones that I looked at, it always translates it the first time there as Gentiles in Galatians 3:8, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, and it changes. It uses the same word, a little different construction with the surrounding area, but all the nations will be blessed in you. That's the same word, ethne. Now, typically when we think of that idea of what a nation is, we probably here in this room think of the United States or Canada or Mexico or Togo or France or wherever it might be. And we think of a country or a nation. And I think it can be included with that. And yet we often will use it in a smaller context like Cherokee Nation, right? Smaller group of people or whatever that indigenous group might be. When Paul quotes Genesis 12:3 here, and he says, all nations or families will be blessed in you. Well, the way that those words are used when they were given to Abraham, it is more personal than a country. It is a family, a people group, a next of kin. That's the way Abraham received it. That's the way we read it in our Old and in our New Testaments. But when God made that promise to Abram, he had Granny in mind. A member of that Cherokee nation. And when God gave that promise to Abram, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he had you and your family in mind. When somebody is going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, though, in order for that promise to ultimately be fulfilled, somebody else had to be a witness to what Jesus Christ did. And it's that idea of a witness that I want to get after today, and that's what the goal of our text is in Acts 4. I said it wrong. I probably said it wrong to you earlier. And I'm sorry about that. There was a little bit of a mix-up in what the text was supposed to be this morning. But Acts 1, 4 through 11. This is the idea of what Luke is thinking. And so we're going to be in Acts 1 for just a few minutes. And then I want to spend a few minutes praying for our own missionaries. Just a few things in the detail. And in Acts 1, Jesus had risen from the dead. This is the context. Jesus spent 40 days with the disciples. They were on the Mount of Olives when this conversation is taking place that was read just a minute ago. And by the way, the Mount of Olives, it is directly east of Jerusalem, but specifically the Temple Mount. So Jesus and his disciples are looking at the Temple Mount. They had some questions. One question is recorded. Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I said it again and again. I think this was a right and a good and a fair question. Because if the king is here, we would expect kingdom to be following him, right? And Jesus tells him, you don't need to worry about that. It is not for you to know periods of time or appointed times of which the Father has sent by his own authority. But then here's what you do need to do. You need to go back to Jerusalem. You need to wait. And you need to wait for the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus ascended. Two things that I want to just point out here in this text. The first one is power. Power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Of course, that power would come with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit came, he descended, and he overwhelmed the disciples. And then it was at that point, and only after that point, that they had power in their testimony as they gave witness to Jesus Christ and what he would do. Again, it was only after the Spirit had come that they had this power. And the main point of application from this idea of power is that just as the disciples depended upon the Holy Spirit, just as the apostles who went out and changed the world depended upon the Holy Spirit, you and I depend upon the Holy Spirit for any power that we might have. Furthermore, they were to give witness. Let me read that second half of verse 8. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and as far as the remotest part of the earth. A witness is one who has information or knowledge of something, and hence the one who can give information, bringing light, or confirming something. That's what a witness is. That's what a witness does. And in this context, they're giving witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we have recorded for us four Gospels, four witnesses of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Of course, Matthew and John, they were eyewitnesses. They saw Jesus Christ and the life that he lived. Mark records Peter's testimony. And Luke, he investigated everything very carefully to write out an orderly account for the most excellent Theophilus. And as believers in Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility to be witnesses. If there's one application that can come from this text, it is that you are to be a witness to Jesus Christ. Who are you witnessing to? Who are you giving the gospel to? And how are you participating in this gospel message? I would suggest that there are two ways that we participate in evangelism as missions. On the one hand, you either go, you go to wherever these missions are taking place, whether it's another part of the world, or you send. And when you send, there's this boosting, yes, of course, financially, but in prayer. Please do not forget the responsibility that we bear for prayer, for sending our missionaries, talking about it, writing letters to them. You know, they invented this thing called a pen a couple years ago, and you can actually write things down and put it in the mail, and you put a stamp on it, and it goes all the way around the world if you want it to. And that is a great way to encourage missionaries to send them cards, emails, texts. Whatever it is, and however they might be communicated to, it is our responsibility to participate in an encouraging part of missions. And we have that responsibility. And so the next couple minutes, I want to take a minute to pray for our missionaries. I just want to list them out. These are all the missionaries that we financially and prayerfully and in an encouraging way support here at CUNA Baptist Church. The first one, these are in alphabetical order with one exception at the very end. Mary Amesbury, she works at Cleveland State University, and she gives the gospel to young men and women who are students there at Cleveland State University. She sent a note to me. She always sends out notes, prayer letters, and she said this: in the weeks leading up to Thanksgiving, I'll be doing a gratitude wall in the student center. Pray that the effort will lead to more student activity pursuing gratitude, and that it would generate some good conversations with students, both saved and unsaved. And she also said she has a Bible study group that she does on a weekly basis. A lot of Roman Catholics have been coming to participate in this. She says, please pray that they will understand their need to be born again and to trust in the Lord for the eternal salvation of their soul. A couple others I want to draw attention to. Jerry and Angie Berheim, they're missionaries here in Idaho in the Northwest. If we go back to this idea in Acts, Acts 1, he tells us, he's telling them, you're to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And this would be our ministry, both Mary and Jerry and Angie, they are ministering in Judea and Samaria. They're giving the gospel very closely here, and they're participating in church ministry. Somebody else, Sparky and Mindy Clancy, they're both in DR Congo and in Idaho, NOTUS specifically. He's the pastor out at NOTUS. A couple times a year, he goes for 3 or 4 weeks to DR Congo, and he participates in the ministry there. And we have the privilege of supporting them. We also have James and Melissa Fife. They're in Mongo, Togo, which is in the northern part of Togo. They've got a wonderful, large family. I had the privilege of going with James in 2017 to Togo for the first time, introducing him to a little bit of what Togo looked like. Peter and Jamie Hudson, they serve in Colombia, South America, not South Carolina, South America. And the Lord has been very gracious to them. This is Zion, and Zion was born just a couple weeks ago. We can praise the Lord for this baby that has been born to them. This is Mark and Serena Mauser. Megan mentioned their names a few times. They're up in Mongo, Togo as well. Gerald and Katie Touchstone in Tsiko, Togo. And Gerald had sent this note. He is leading a team of 27 workers on the new hospital that is there. He wants us to pray for them specifically. 43 students at the Village of Light. They also wanted us to pray for their mothers back here in the United States. We've been doing that, and we'll continue to pray for Gerald and Justin's mother and for her mother as well, Katie's mother. Also, they've asked for encouragement while they're away during Thanksgiving and Christmas, something that we forget about easily. I think it would be very right and good of us to be sending missionaries Christmas cards or some sort of note to let them know that we are specifically thinking about them for and during Christmas. Lee and Becky Ward, they're serving in Congo. They were just here a couple weeks ago. And then finally, our very own Faith Schaefer, who's working in Tsiko, Togo as well. Faith is teaching at a school called La Lumiere, that is the school of light, if you will, and it's a Togolese Christian school, so very similar to what Megan was just telling us about the school in Mongo. They've got a few hundred students that are there. She teaches there once a week, and here's the great blessing that we get to have as a sending church for Faith. Is we get to send some of our own to go and encourage her. And in fact, we've got two that are going in just a couple weeks. Mike, you want to come on up? And is Ellie here? Can I have you go and grab Ellie? I think she might be back in Children's Church. And guys, it is our responsibility and our privilege to be in prayer for you guys as you go and visit with Faith, to encourage her, to love her. And so we want to pray for all of our missionaries, but we also want to pray for you guys as well. And Mike, can you tell us just a little bit about what you're going to be doing and how we can be praying for you?
Faith is saying that a couple of the local churches really enjoy it when the missionaries Harold touched on with the project that he'll have there. Just encouraging faith and helping out anywhere I can.
So you're going to be preaching there, and we're excited for this. And we need to pray for a couple things. One, that you get there safely. Two, that you stay healthy while you're there. The bugs have a tendency to spread things that make it difficult. Three, that you'll be a great encouragement to Faith and to the rest of the team. And is there any precious cargo that you might be taking down there with you? Tell us about that real quick. I think I heard this morning that Bo was going on a doggy diet for a couple of days right before, because it's got to be under 100 pounds, I think. And so we want to pray that all of the cargo gets there safely. And, well, Faith, for those that maybe don't know, Faith trained up a dog to a German Shepherd? Okay, a German Shepherd to be with her. Normal thing in Togo. A lot of people had dogs like this, and then that was a little bit complicated for her to take a dog with her when she went. So you guys are graciously going. Guys, I hope that you'll have a wonderful and a fun time, and going to visit with your sister, it matters. All right, this is part of what being a sending church is. We're not just writing a check every month or something like that. We are actually going, and this is the first of what I anticipate will be many trips, some with you guys, but some with you guys to go. And in a few years, I do expect that we will send a team, and I have some hopes of what it might look like to participate in their team meetings at in Togo. We'll see whether some of those things come into play or not. I don't know. We need a doctor. We'd leave like a couple doctors, maybe some nurses, a physical therapist, if you guys know anybody like that. Maybe a dental hygienist even. I don't know. Just throwing some things out there. But we would love to be able to participate. We don't know what this looks like yet as far as what our participation will be, but this is part of that participation. So I want to invite you to join me in prayer right now. You don't need to come up here. I almost looked like I invited you to come up here. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for all of our missionaries, but I'm going to pray for Mike and Ellie also, okay? Father, I want to thank you for the work that you've been doing, the work that you are doing. And I pray that you will give your great blessing upon all of our missionaries. I want to lift up Mary to you as she continues to serve at Cleveland State University. I pray that she will see fruit in the ministry that she does. I want to pray for Jerry and Angie. Thank you for the ways that they serve us regularly and continually. Pray, Father, that you would use them to continue to plant churches, to participate in the ministry, wherever that is in the Northwest. I want to pray for Sparky and Mindy. Thank you for the work that they do in DR Congo. And I pray that you will continue to use them in a great way, yes, in Notice, but especially in DR Congo. For the Fifes, Lord, would you protect them? And would you bless them in a great way as they serve in Togo Team North? For Peter and Jamie, Lord, we thank you for baby Zion. I pray that this child, that he would grow, that he would be strong, and Lord, that you would use him in ways that we never could have imagined. Lord, for Mark and Serena, as they're transitioning into a new home this week, pray that you would give them safety, and I pray that it would be a smooth transition. Also for them, as they're going to have some teammates on furlough in the next year. Lord, for Jack and Cheryl Shiflett in Fresno, for Gerald and Katie Touchstone in Togo, I pray for Gerald, particularly as he leads this team of 27 workers. Also for those 43 students at the Village of Light, to pray that they would know you, not just about you, but that they would know you. For each of their mothers back here in the United States, Father, would you use them and encourage them, particularly as we're coming close to Thanksgiving and Christmas. I pray that we would be a great blessing and encouragement to them. For Mike and Becky in Congo, and of course, Lord, for Faith. Lord, thank you for using us to send Faith. Lord, I pray that you would use her as she teaches at La Lumiere, I pray that she would connect with boys and girls for the Christian school that is there. And I want to pray for Mike and Ellie as they travel next week. I pray that you would give them a safe trip. Lord, I pray that their stomachs will be hardened, strengthened. I'm not even sure the right way to pray it, but Lord, I pray that you'd protect them from sickness that can really hurt and cripple a trip like this. So Lord, please protect them. I pray that all of their luggage would get there safely, and I pray for this dog, Bo, that it would be a good transition, even the flight as they get ready to go. And I pray that Bo would come in under the weight that he needs to be able to travel internationally. And Lord, I want to pray also for us as a sending church. Lord, would you please raise up more missionaries that we get to send? Lord, as a sending church, it is so important that we do sending. So, Lord, I pray that some of the men and women, the boys and girls that are here, I pray that you would raise them up to go and to do the work of proclaiming the name of Jesus around the world. And Lord, I pray that we're ready to do the sending work when those moments come. Lord, thank you for meeting us here today. Thank you for Megan and the work that she's done, the work that she's continuing to do. Lord, we desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit moment by moment in our lives. And I pray that we would submit to that leading and that power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And all we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. I've gone a little bit longer than I'm normally supposed to, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask Megan, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you back to that table there, and you guys can interact with Megan and ask some questions if you have, and we're going to go ahead and skip this last song that we have planned. Lord bless you, and you are dismissed right now.